in foreign countries that need your word. Help us, Father, to glorify you, to honor you as we do the work here at this place.
Amen.
Father, we're grateful for the land in which we live. We're grateful for the bounty that we have, the freedoms that we enjoy. And Father, we pray that the leaders of this land will turn to you to look to you for guidance. Help us, Father, in the upcoming election to select a person that will help this country out. To keep you in our thoughts and our minds and our lives and keep you strong in America, Father. We pray that you'll help the selection be the right name. Father, thank you so much for those that protect us in this nation. For the men and women in the military, Father, we pray that you watch over them and care for them, keep them out of harm's way. And during this time of the pandemic that we're having, the first responders, Father, they're so important to us, and we ask you to bless them in such a way that they can do a great job, and Father, that we can get over this troubles that we have at this time. Father, we ask you to go with us through our lives. And in so doing, Father, help us to look to you for our help and for our guidance. Help us to be stronger every day in our life to be more like yourself. And Father, help us to do the will that you would have us to do. We realize, Father, that in our lives at times that we do sin, that we miss the mark, and Father, we ask you to forgive us. Help us to overcome our weaknesses, and Father, we can be as perfect as we can be in your sight. Thank you for Brother Robert, Sister James, they work here at this place. Help them, Father, to do much good while they're here. Continue to bless us, Father, through the rest of this day and through the night. We thank you so much for your Son, Jesus, who has died on the cross for our sins and given us the Word. Father, that if we study it, put it in our hearts and live it out in our lives, that we will have a chance to be with you in heaven. Father, it's in His name that we pray. And we say amen.
Amen. Brethren, when I put together these particular lessons several months ago and thought about the things that the Lord told us to do first before we can go on to do anything else of His will, I enjoyed the particular study in way, and another way, this particular lesson I was made sad about all the way through. When we face circumstances in life from day to day, God's Word teaches us certain things that we ought to do first and foremost. For example, in Ephesians chapter 4 and at verse 26, He says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." The idea there is set forth the concept of one's being upset at something, being bothered by something that provokes anger rather than anything else in that person's life. And He says, "Be ye angry and sin not." There's a way to hold our tongue instead of profanities being uttered. There's a way to hold our disposition without a fist being swung at somebody. There's a way to hold our understanding of people's circumstance being different than ours with forgiveness in our hearts rather than hatred within us. We can be angry and sin not. And He says, do it in a quick way. Do it in the day in which that is happening. Don't let it fester and create a situation within that heart, day in and day out, day in and day out, till finally that anger becomes a deep-seated wrath. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Let it be only on that day that that occurs. Such things as that often called upon us to realize that there are circumstances that God knew in life before we ever realized that they were coming up. David in Psalms 139, a passage that we went by and studied a little bit of earlier in our adult class on Sunday morning, just several months ago, actually now. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts from afar. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. The fact that God knows ahead of time what could be from our tongues, what could be from our mouths, what could be from our anger, has given Him the knowledge by which the remainder part of the Scripture speaks in regard to be ye angry and sin not. He knows that we have choices that we can make. And so as we are angry, let's find ourselves seeking a better way than the old way that we did and the old way we've done and the old way we have perhaps practiced throughout our early life and now practice in our later life. Ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Since God knows our down sitting and our uprising, and He knows all of our thoughts from afar, let's be prayerful people to Him in regard to the circumstances of life. When Jesus met the Heavenly Father in prayer, He honored the Heavenly Father's right way. And He spoke of the Heavenly Father in a grand fashion. And He loved the Heavenly Father. He was willing to do the Father's will. And in so doing, it tells us that while He was here upon this earth in the flesh, that He found Himself in bitter tears and crying because He knew that the facing of the future was to face that future with the pain of the cross. And Jesus, as He was aware of that, spoke to the Father in bitter tears and crying. In prayer. When Jesus did that, He certainly showed to each one of us an example of how we can enter into prayer when we're wearied by something and bothered by something that is occurring. The passage in Colossians chapter 1 is a passage that is worth our attention as well, as the Apostle Paul, inspired by God, addresses the brethren at Corinth. He mentions to them how that there was a certain one, Epaphras, who was serving them as a local minister, a local preacher, who was doing a wonderful work there among them. He calls him a faithful minister of Christ in Colossians 1 at verse 7. Then he goes on to say, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. In other words, Epaphras sent a word to Paul by letter or by person, bringing him a letter, bringing him information, by which he declared the love that these brethren had in the Spirit of God by way of their being converted to Christ. And now that they were saying these things, he knew it was by way of the Spirit of God's teaching in their lives and not their own volition. And thus he gives them great credit for that. And he says in verse 9 the following, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, since the day we heard of your declaration of love in the Spirit, since the day that we heard that report from Epaphras, since the day that we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I want you to observe that upon hearing this information, The information was met with a word of prayer. Do we pray as often as we should? Do we pray as much as we should? We find ourselves in times of prayer in a service, and we find ourselves in times of prayer when it goes over. But more than one or two or three at the most prayers that are offered becomes a wearisome thing to many congregations. But it should not be a wearisome thing. As Paul mentions here, when he heard of this situation and how that they were brethren who were bringing forth fruit as it doth for you since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God in truth, verse 6, that they also told Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Do we see Paul as a man of great prayer? In these verses we do. We see him of a great prayer, desiring that they have a will of God to be understood by them, with the knowledge that they have in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. There's a spiritual understanding that Jesus wanted Nicodemus to have when he came to Jesus by night in John 3 and said, "Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus interrupted his train of thought if he had other things to say, and noted to him, unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Nicodemus was obviously thinking of the physical man, the physical presence. Can I be born again in this way? Is it a way that I can return to a womb and be born again? And Jesus noted to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, unless a man is born again, born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Why did he say you cannot enter? And then he said you cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you're willing to be born anew, spiritually speaking, will that person ever see the will of God? Jesus was saying that to him. You'll never see the will of God unless you're willing to be born of the water and the Spirit. You'll never see it. You'll never understand it. You'll never appreciate it. You'll never thank the Lord for it. You'll never be a person who understands it. But you can understand it. As Jesus went on to say, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again." Literally, you must be born anew. And the spiritual meaning of that idea, Jesus was seeking to get across in those words in John 3 to Nicodemus. To you and me today, we see in Colossians 1 how that Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which were at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. They were brethren who were truly committed, spiritually speaking, for the betterment of all the brethren wherever they were. And now then, they were brethren who found themselves increasing in this knowledge, in a spiritual understanding of how they were to live and be in the presence of God. He goes on to say, that you might walk worthy of the Lord in all pleasing. Verse 10 of Colossians 1. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. I want you to notice what He has hoped and prayed that they would have. That they would understand the knowledge of God, increasing in that knowledge. That they would be strengthened in all might according to the glorious power, unto all patience. Having patience and long suffering. The word for long suffering is the word for patience as well. Having patience and extra patience with joyfulness. Have a great sense of joy and a great sense of the presence of God as you grow in this way of life. That's the way that He wants all the brethren to do. For He goes on to say the following, verses 12 and 13. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. When did that happen? When we found that spiritual knowledge, that spiritual awareness. In Colossians 2 and at verse 12, he notes the following about the time that they came into Christ. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. You see, the Gentile people that were here were being criticized by the Jewish people that they simply had been people who came into this late. And Paul is saying to them, you didn't come in this late. You came with this understanding. You came with this knowledge. You came with this receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, and so you walk in Him. Verse 6 of Colossians 2. Rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, that you may be, have been, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. They were taught and spiritually minded. They were thankful. They became people of prayer like Paul was, thanking God that He had given them that forgiveness and that they now had the privilege to help others in the time of need throughout the brotherhood, wherever they were. And as a result of that, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. That operation of God occurred at the time of their baptism and our baptism into Christ. Now, it wasn't a physical operation, obviously. There was no blood letting that took place. There was the idea of, spiritually speaking, within our hearts and our souls and our minds, a forgiveness of God that occurred in such a remarkable way. It's as though the old sin was cut away and the new life was installed. No wonder then Paul would write in Romans 6, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also are raised to walk in newness of life. The Lord committed Himself. God did an operation. That operation took away from us the old ways of sin that had been practiced up to that point in time. Now then, here's a way of life that they were seeking to do. They were prayerful people, first and foremost. They were people who were walking in the Lord and walking with the Lord in His righteous way. They were growing in that knowledge, and thankful they were to have that opportunity to do that. what a blessing it is and what a blessing to be that way. He says in chapter 3 and verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And set your affection not on things of the earth, but on things above. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When we were baptized into Christ, we were baptized into His death, raised to walk in newness of life. Being baptized into His death, we became dead to the old ways of sin, and our life has been hid with Christ in God. What a blessing it is to have this privilege to know that there was all kinds of things beginning new when we obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation in any way tonight, we ask you to come as we stand together and as we sing this song of encouragement.
Voice of Jesus said, come unto me, I am the way. Hearken the loving call, obey. Come, for He loved you so. Only a step, only a step. Come, for He bled for you. He's the same loving Savior, yeah. Jesus the crucified. Open for you the pearly gate. Loved ones for you, now watch your way. Terrible heart to cry to blame. Jesus, I come to thee. Only a step, only a step. Come, for He bled for you and I. He's the same loving Savior, yeah. Jesus, the
Savior that was given in our stead upon that cross of Calvary. We pray that those who partake will do so in a manner pleasing to thee. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We thank thee, Father, for this cup, the symbol of the blood of our Savior that was shed upon that cross for us. We thank thee, Father, for that sacrifice. We pray that those who partake will do so in a manner pleasing to thee. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Do we have any other announcements this evening? Other than the fact that we've got an end of business meeting.
After service.
Let's turn to number 157. 157, and that's the song Jael, would you move to there?
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O word with heavenly comfort fraught. Where'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me.
We're so thankful, Jesus, that gift of the gift of our world. Pray that each one here is benefited by many of you. That you guide, guard, and direct us in